Jake, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure, as always.
We have one of the biggest shows ever right now.
I would think it's like the magnitude of it is just, it's overwhelming.
You know Skull Kickers, right?
I know Skull Kickers.
We love Skull Kickers. We all love Skull Kickers.
Beautiful.
Jim Zub, as he's calling Twitter, Jim Zubkovich, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. It's my pleasure.
It's mine. I'm going to wrestle this pleasure away from you.
This is going to be on the cutting room floor the entire show. Jim, you have something that a lot of people are waiting for is the new Pathfinder from Dynamite. I know my friends are super jacked about getting this book out. What is Pathfinder to those that don't know?
Pathfinder is it's a tabletop role-playing game world and the setting for a bunch of fiction and fantasy adventure games. And so it's kind of the new generation of Dungeons & Dragons. And it's become really, really popular, won a slew of awards. And it's just an incredible sword and sorcery setting. So Dynamite is working with Paizo Publishing, the guys that put together Pathfinder, to do a comic book series. And I weaseled my way in there and convinced them that I was the right writer for the job. So
it's good because I know me and my friends, you know, I have a hardcore group of friends that love RPG, and Skull Kickers is like at the top of the list. And when this was announced, it was like the perfect fit, you know, for Skull Kicker fans to kind of just like swerve right over to Pathfinder because, you know, it's this, you know, it's the setting and the kind of characters that, you know, people can just jump into and enjoy and just hop in and don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we wanted to make sure of is even though Pathfinder is based on a game, we didn't want the comic to be for, you know, game players only. So it's completely new reader friendly. It's going to be a great sword and sorcery story. A little more serious, obviously, than Skull Kickers. Skull Kickers is a totally irreverent, sarcastic take on the genre, whereas you know, Pathfinder is more of a classic approach to fantasy, but really focused on character development. It's going to have fun parts too, and over the top, you know, adventure, but it's not necessarily quite so silly or black-hearted as Skull Kickers is, that's for sure. But yeah, Pathfinder, as a game, it's a wonderful, wonderful system, and it's a great world that the Paizo guys have put together. And as a comic, we're just trying to put together the best fantasy story that we can, make it just really, really compelling, great adventure, great characters, and bring everyone on board.
I mean, when it comes to RPGs, like, I have a lot of friends who take Pathfinder incredibly seriously. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, hey, come out for a drink, and they're like, no, I'm gonna be playing Pathfinder over Skype with my friends. Like, but I'm your friend, your drinky friend. But it's, yeah, I have like tons of friends who would be super excited for something like this. Like, they're just, they like, I played Dungeons and Dragons for a while, and all my friends can talk about is how Dungeons & Dragons is so like 5 years ago, and now Pathfinder is where it's at. Hmm.
Well, I think what's so amazing about just role-playing games in general is the creativity involved. So instead of just, you know, getting together with your friends and or going to the movies and staring at the same screen together, you know, you're all interacting. You're creating something. You're telling a new story. You're generating something. So when we were talking about how we were going to do the comic, you know, I said, look, it's not like we have to advertise it really hard. All you need to do is make a great fantasy story and then make it absolutely clear. You can tell these types of stories in your own campaign. You can create your own great fantasy, you know, by playing Pathfinder. And that's the best advertisement we could make.
When what would you consider your first love? Is it comics or, you know, the tabletop RPG area?
I'm a multifaceted nerd.
that should be on business cards. I think
pretty much everything I've been into. Like, I started playing Dungeons and Dragons when I was around 8 years old with my older cousins and my brother. And it must have been probably right around the same time. Within a year or so, I was starting to get heavily into comics. I became a big, crazy Marvel zombie. I grew up on Spider-Man and all the mythological characters. Love Thor and love Doctor Strange and anything when there was fantasy injected into the comics, I was extra crazy about those.
I can't remember if there were any Marvel. Were there? I don't remember ever playing.
Well,
they had
Conan, of course, right?
Right. Oh yeah. Right, absolutely. Yeah.
But they also, there was one storyline in the X-Men where they all got transported. Cullen Gath, the wizard, took everyone back to this like pseudo fantasy world. Mm-hmm. So it was like Captain America was this barbarian with his shield and all this stuff. That was probably the most excited I was about a comic, you know, that I could possibly remember, because it was like, oh, peanut butter and chocolate. Like, it was like everything together. It was amazing.
Was that, I'm trying so to remember, good. Was Busick's run, Busick and Perez relaunched Avengers like in the 90s. And I think that might have been
the
like.
The first storyline was.
Was
like,
that one?
Was, it was a fantasy one, yeah.
When they were on the cover and he's got like the metal helmet on and the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, oh, yeah. When I was younger.
Yeah, that's the stuff that, and of course, Doctor Strange, whenever he would do the cool stuff. I loved all the wizardry and the, you know, the mystic elements of it. Loved all that stuff. But yeah, so grew up a big comic book fan and then a gaming fan at the same time. So, you know, really kind of took in both those loves. And the great thing is now, you know, with Skullkickers and with Pathfinder, I'm able to channel both of those, you know, influences into something and try and bring the strength from both. Like, I don't want to, I think some of the problems with adaptation is you get people who are, they're really strong in one area or not another. And I'm hoping I can strike that balance, that it's going to be a great comic on its own, but it comes from great source material, and that we don't lose track of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, people will, like, lose their minds, too, if it's, like, a, you know, one minor gripe, and it, the comic will be burned alive mm-hmm. by people.
Well, no, the great thing is, though, is that Paizo's been really, really supportive, and the great thing they've allowed is we have a lot of interaction about the book. So I talk to them about plot and characters and where I want the story to go, you know, and how I see this as a comic story and as a character-driven story, and then they come back and we talk about, you know, where we're going to put it or what particular details are going to most accentuate the game world stuff, you know, properly. Or if I say we need this kind of an event, then they're helping me to, you know, there's reams and reams of material to the source books. And even though I'm a Pathfinder fan and even though I've played the game, you know, I don't know it as intimately, obviously, as they do. So it's been really helpful having them bring ideas to me or sort of say, hey, you know, what fits really well with what you're planning is this. And so it is a really nice synergy we've got going on right now.
That's always a plus. I remember, I think the first like medium that shifted into a different medium, like so a movie that was made into a comic, remember when the Ninja Turtles 2 movie came out and they made an adaptation of it?
I actually just saw that at a like a antique festival thing.
It was somewhere. Awful.
It was terrible.
And it's funny because, you know, I always wondered how stringent like the companies in charge of that stuff were to like that kind of shift in making it into a comic. But I love, you know, when something is shifting to kind of gain a new audience or to bring in the same audience, it's always good to see where there's kind of like an understanding of a relationship between the two parties. So that's always good to
hear. I think what's really important is that, again, that understanding of that you bring people who have a love of comics and understand the medium really well, but they're also have knowledge of the source material, that you're not sort of coming in cold. I know I've done a lot of work with the Udon Studio, mm-hmm. the guys that do the Street Fighter comics, and their love for the games and their love for the video game stuff comes through in the comics without overwhelming it.
Yeah. You
know? So that's it. You want to try and strike a good balance.
One reason I have your site bookmarked is I love when you wrote the how you write. You know, there's a you have on your website where how you have that. You know, you can see how you put it to the page or how you type out your script. Do you do that for like new writers, or do you almost do that to kind of keep yourself in the same mode and make sure you don't shift from your own writing ways?
Well, I actually I teach at an art college, so I've got quite a bit of experience in teaching and tutorial kind of stuff. And so when I tend to get asked a lot of questions, like at conventions, I've been doing a series of how-to panels with some other, you know, up and coming kind of writer guys. And so it sort of grew organically out of that. People were talking to me on Twitter and asking me about, you know, how I go about doing stuff or formatting or, you know, and I just trying to explain to people in 140 characters, hey, this is how it's done. I realized I'd written like 20 of these tweets and it was really, really limiting. So I said, I'll just do a blog post.
Yeah.
And then one blog post turned into 2, 3, 4. And then it was a 5-part thing I went through because I realized that there was things I was doing, but I had never, sort of like you were saying, putting it down to remind myself, not like I'm going to forget, but, mm-hmm. you know, be actually organizing my thoughts on it. Why do I do this? Why does this work for me? and cohesively sort of going through it and understanding it. And so that's been really helpful. A lot of people really liked it. A lot of people found it very interesting. And it's not like I'm trying to say this is the only way to write by no measure, you know, but this is what works for me and here's why. And so that's been kind of cool. It's been really gratifying to get positive feedback from people. And, I have a lot of people come visit the site or talk to me on Twitter and ask me questions. Because, I feel a lot of this stuff, there is no one standard way of doing it. And there's a lot of different approaches you can take to creative, projects. Mm-hmm. And so this is how it works for me. And if you find this useful, great. And if not, man, do it your way. That's cool.
Yeah. And I like, and it's not like, that kind of writing, to keep put it out in the open. I really liked how when Skull Kickers came out, you experimented with putting the single pages on like a serialized basis. I thought that was awesome. I like how when people just kind of like just say like, screw it, let's experiment to see how many new readers we can get from just, doing something different.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to constantly push and to try different things, because the reality is that the audience is out there. There's tons of people who are reading comics, and you've got to, kind of wave your arms and beat the drum a little bit to get their attention. And so I know we're doing a funny book in a pretty serious market where a lot of the books are going out of their way to try and prove how, adult they are or mature they are. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a pretty silly book. And then we're doing fantasy in a market where, the majority of stuff is obviously superheroes. And so I felt like, well, we got to let people know what we're doing. We got to wave our arms and make a big deal out of it, and try different things. And not all of them are going to succeed. When I try some of this stuff or when I'm experimenting or I'm pushing different elements, it's never with an understanding of, well, I've got it all figured out. It's the exact opposite, It's about let's push into a different direction. Let's try something. Let's see if this works. I have a theory, and then we're going to play in these different areas, or we're going to try and promote in these different ways. When we did the Tavern Tales contest, earlier this year, or when we do the, different promotions, trying out different conventions, whatever it might be, it's all about just, throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. And yeah. I think that's a part of the creative process.
So in your free time, if you have any, what do you seek out to read?
Oh, man. It's pretty nutso. my convention schedule is really crazy this summer, but I am still doing some reading. I tend to be reading in big chunks when I get a chance. So I'm reading a lot of trades, or, I'll catch up with friends at shows and they'll give me their stuff and then I'll read it I'll just sit down and sort of disseminate through tons of stuff. But I'm loving a lot of great creator-owned books on the market right now. Mm-hmm. I'm thoroughly enjoying Lock and Key from IDW, which I think is a phenomenal book. I love Chew from Image, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like The Sixth Son over at Oni Press. I think it's a great book as well. Atomic Robo by Red 5 is a phenomenal title.
Mm-hmm. And then for
the superhero stuff, I'm really loving Dan Slott's Amazing Spider-Man. And of course, Mark Waid's Daredevil. Both those books, mm-hmm. I think they strike the best balance possible between old continuity and keeping readers who have been around for a long time in mind, but never pushing new readers away. I think that they balance that tapestry of the Marvel Universe while simultaneously, making just great, easy to jump in with comics.
It's funny that the Slott's run on Spider-Man, like he, depending on like your age or, where you at in your life, you'll be able to define like your era of Spider-Man almost with Slott's run on it. That's how many issues he's done and how great it's been.
No, it's really phenomenal. And I think what's most amazing about it is I really was a huge Spider-Man fan when I was a kid. And then I slowly drifted away, and his run has really brought me back on in a big way, where I feel like not that much time has passed, and not in a bad way. Like it feels like it's easy to understand. He's sort of, he says the early issues are really important, and he's constantly referencing that first year or two of Spider-Man. And then there's this gooey middle where he just goes, yeah, and a bunch of stuff happened and now we're here. So it works. You don't sit there and worry about how many presidents have been in power since the 60s. And you don't worry about how many Christmas stories or birthdays or where was the Vietnam War or any of that stuff. You just sort of go, yeah, Spider-Man started here and now he's here and it all works.
Yeah.
And you're like, great. Yeah. That's all I need.
It's great.
Yeah, going back to Atomic Robo, they're coming out with a tabletop game for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Clevinger's a big role-playing game guy, mm-hmm. and actually that's how I first met him. I was working on the Exalted comic series, the mini series that we did with White Wolf way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Brian contacted me out of the blue back when he was just doing his webcomic, 8-Bit Theater. And he said, I'm the biggest role-playing game fan and I love Exalted. And if, you know, there's any way I can ever contribute, let me know. And I didn't know who this guy was. And, you know, I read his comic. I thought he was really hilarious, but the opportunity really wasn't there. And I wasn't the person making those decisions anyways. But years later, I realized that's the same guy who was doing Atomic Robo. And I contacted him after I had a few issues of Skullcares in the can. And I said, I actually replied to his old email. And I said, hey, I know you emailed me like, you know, 4 years ago, but hey, do you want to work together and do a short story for my comic book Skull Kickers? It's fantasy and it's fun. And he emailed me back like 15 minutes later. He said, yeah, that'd be great.
That's funny.
He has possibly the driest wit out of anyone I've ever met in my entire life. Where, like, if you're not in the loop, you would think he's the biggest jerk on the planet. And it's hilarious.
No, he's super, super low-key. You meet him at a convention or something, and you're like, are you cool? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm good. And it's just no emotion displayed. But you get used to it. It's totally awesome.
Yeah. Come on anytime. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do like a whole tabletop like themed
tournament?
Podcast.
Do a tournament. In do the a studio.
Tournament podcast.
Oh my god.
There's no tournaments with tabletop. You don't know anything about tabletop. Shut up, Matt.
I'm leaving right now. But Jim, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.